What is always really a joy to have some of our friends and partners in ministry with us, and some of those being missionaries that we support, and we're always so thankful for those opportunities. I saw earlier today Megan Collins back from China. It's good to have you here with us, and we appreciate you guys and your ministry. And today we're also going to have Joseph Gabor. He was back here about 5 years ago, right? Actually, at the onset of COVID. He came right before COVID hit, and that caused some really troubling times for Margareta, his wife, to make it back to Austria, where they live. But I want to, for many of you, you may not know him well. And so I want to introduce him to you, tell a bit about his story for just a moment. And then I'll have him come. He's going to speak this morning. His story really starts in 1974 when he was a medical student, sitting to become a doctor. And while he was in Czechoslovakia, and the Lord got a hold of his heart and his life, and he ended up trusting Jesus Christ as his Savior, and that changed the whole trajectory of his life. He was then living in a communist country, and the struggle of being a Christian, but he wanted to share Christ, and so he began telling others about Jesus Christ, but that became a problem, and so he had to resign from the communist youth organization and boycotted the state organizational elections and became a young evangelist for Jesus Christ. And through that, as a result, he was rejected from further studies. And his plans that he had of becoming a doctor and what he had kind of mapped out for his life were really all changed. And he was very open to what God had. That led to a series of different events. He was listening to Trans World Radio's broadcast and learned of their need for a fluent Christian translator broadcaster in his heart language. And he now speaks, I don't know, 10 languages? Six. They speak six languages. I struggle with one. And he can broadcast and speak those well. And but he heard of that need. And so really here's kind of the long story short, if I could, kind of sharing what God was doing. He's going to be back tonight and share an update in the ministry and as well have some time of Q&A. And then actually after the service as well, he'll be out by the missions kiosk area, out the doors to the left. And so you can come and ask him some questions and talk with him. But as he was feeling that burden to go be equipped for, or to help and serve with Trans World Radio, it became dangerous for him in Czechoslovakia, and he was at a youth camp and was he met some Swedish believers, three young ladies. They helped to smuggle him out of the country and in the back end of a little car, and on from there then he obtained asylum to be able to come for religious asylum to the United States. And while he was working and a job where he was making bagels and those things, he would also go and watch Sesame Street and other broadcasts of that like and learn how to speak English, and then made his way down to Trans World Radio in the United States and said, I'm here to report and take on missionary duty. He then obtained all of the funds to be able to go back to Austria and within 9 months and is now serving there back actually in his home country of Czechoslovakia, broadcasting in what was a communist country, now is broadcasting Christian radio in every major city across that area. He serves on as a chair of the board of Trans World Radio. He's also heavily involved with and serves on the chair of the board of Youth for Christ as they do large Youth for Christ outreaches across that region. And Lord has just really been using him. He's taught in seminaries and areas over there as well. And God has really taken what was his plans to become a doctor and get a PhD to become a doctor and turn that. He got a PhD in journalism, and God has used him in a fantastic way. What a great testimony of a surrendered heart and how God can use that in fantastic ways. And so that's a little bit of his story in a nutshell, and he wanted me to share that so you know a bit where he's coming from. And but so good to have Joseph Gabor with us. We have been the sending church and a partner in ministry for many, many years, and we so appreciate him. And so, Joseph, if you'd come and share.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. It is good to be back in the United States, and I'm bringing greetings from my dear wife. She didn't come with me because last time she had a really difficult time. She has a Swedish passport, and she cannot stay as long as I can stay. So I need to come because of different governmental requirements. Now missionaries need to return every fifth year for 6 months and stay in the United States because they have bilateral agreements with different countries. And so I'm doing what I need to do. But same time, I'm visiting churches like yours, and your church was one of the first churches. Pastor Apple was the time, and your elders were the one who prayed for me when I was going to the mission field. And this is what I didn't expect that God will do in my life, but He can do in your life as well. As He blessed me, He can bless anybody. And I went back as a missionary, and since then I experienced 4 wars in area where I'm working. And do you know, or do you live in same world as I do? You do. And we see this now in Ukraine. And yesterday I was just briefly watching Fox News, and there was journalists talking to viewers and talking and using example of war between Russia and Finland, which was called Winter War. It was only 3 months. And he said the Finnish people, 4 million people, fight big Russia during the Stalin occupation, and they prevail. They lost only one peninsula, Kola, and the war was over within 3 months. But he forgot to say something very important. You know that time the Finnish president was praying when they were attacked by Russia. He was praying this prayer. Listen to. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our people. You created us and you love us. You see that we are in great danger. So we beg you, Lord, help us in our distress. And do not let us perish. Give us grace to turn away from the way of sin and lawlessness that are leading our country to destruction. Lord Jesus Christ, without you, we are powerless against the destructive force that are sweeping down upon our people. Therefore, we glory in your victory over the spiritual forces of evil, whose influence in the world and in the world, an image is visible in public every day. Lord, you triumphed on the cross of Calvary over the power of darkness. May they depart from us today, for we exalt your name above all that is to come. We believe that you can save your people even today from satanic error. Lord, have mercy on us. Help us by your Holy Spirit to fight the sin in our lives and to be steadfast in faith to the end. Make us a sign of your liberating grace. Fill us with your love that we may keep your commandments. May your love in us be the power to overcome even the powers of darkness hanging over our nation. Lord Jesus Christ, we believe that in you all things are possible. Have mercy on us. Amen. President of Finland, Mr. Kallius. This is what people in this world don't understand. Did you realize prayer of president and big country of Russia attacking small country of Finland. Many of you probably don't know even where Finland is. It's in Scandinavia, in northern part of Europe. And this is what people need to realize. Without God, there is no victory. And today, we are witnessing in Sudan, 100,000 people killed, 11 million are displaced, and 3.6 million children are victims. Syria, 230,000, Lebanon, 3,000 killed, Russia, 250,000 killed, Ukraine, 55,000 killed, and 14.5 million displaced of people. Armenia, 5,000 killed, 100,000 displaced. I'm witnessing these wars and witnessing this suffering of people because I need to travel between different continents. Even 2 weeks ago, I was traveling between over Atlantic, between continents. And I'm still in jet lag because I just flew in to United States. But what I want to tell you, God is working among people and saving them. And I wanted to just share this before I share the message, what I prepare for today. I will be talking very relevant or sharing the very relevant message. It's divine appointment with Jesus of one lady who just met Jesus, and it was no accident that she met him. And I want to tell you that in John chapter 4, you heard the scriptures read before the service. Jesus is doing something great in the life of one person. He's breaking down barriers, social, cultural, and religious. He's opening up opportunities for the change in the life of that person. And he's revealing the source for the new start in life. He can do this in your life as well. So let's look at these points, what we read about the Samaritan woman and Jesus, their meeting together. So first point is breaking down barriers, social, cultural, religious. As we read through John chapter 4 about Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman who is not educated, who is poor and outcast and despised by people. Almost like she was living like prostitute. In her culture, was the lifestyle she was living was not acceptable. The lowest of the low, however, she held to religion, to the base of their religious beliefs and traditions, like many people in this world. They have traditions. They believe in something what their grandparents, parents, and they pass on them, but they don't know Jesus personally. So she said, we Samaritans believe this and you Jews believe this. She was breaking the moral codex of the day, even in her culture. She failed even meet the standards of Samaritan rules and her tribe rules. Because of that, she was rejected in her society. In her culture, women usually come to the well together. Women by nature like to talk to other women, share and learn the news of the day. Some may say it is gossip. It's not. I would rather say curiosity. And the ladies in that culture come and talk long. These are long talks. But she was too ashamed to be seen in public. So she came to the well for water alone, when she knew she would not run into to other people. And in this passage, what we read from chapter 4 of John, it is written that Jesus is traveling with his disciples to Samaria and stops at the Jacob's well in the heat of the day. For a break, he was thirsty, he was tired. While the disciples went into the town to buy some food, along comes a woman from Samaria to the well. As I mentioned early, The timing when she came was telling us that this woman was hiding from others. Why? Because the women in that culture, as I told you, would normally come in groups and draw water either early in the day or later in the day when it's cooler, not in the greatest heat. Most likely the woman in our story came at this time because she was avoiding public shame, and she was married 5 times, and she was living with men with whom she was not married. You know, I'm meeting ladies like that. I was just recently in Kibera, in Kenya, outside of Nairobi. So many ladies who are just having kids and no men, no husband, who will help them to take care about these families. And this is not only in Africa. You can see this in Baltimore. You can see this in Chicago. And these kind of ladies you can meet everywhere. But it is no difference today. There are people from every spectrum of life with their personal problems all around us, in our communities. It's not just Samaritan women, not just females who are living alone, raising children, and men are wandering around somewhere. But it is anybody of us, all around us, we are meeting people. These people can sit in a church, in the schools. You can meet them in public sector, in businesses or workplaces. Right next to us, where I live, we travel a lot by train and bus. And these people are rich and poor alike, who are longing to satisfy their hunger and thirst for meaning of life. They are searching for that sense of spiritual satisfaction. Let's look at verse 7. As this woman comes to the well, Jesus, who is tired by the day's journey, is waiting there and asking her for a drink. She is shocked that he is even speaking to her. Jews and Samaritans would not have contact with each other because the Jews did not want to be defiled by Samaritans, let alone Samaritan woman. In her shock, she asked him, "How could you, Jew, even think of asking me, a Samaritan, for a drink, as a Jew do not even touch the dishes Samaritans have used?" But Jesus conversed frankly with her and happily breaks social and religious barriers. Jesus could not care less about her gender, ethnicity, behavior, and beliefs, her standing in her life, or moral reputation. He did not take us versus them like we people do all the time. This kind of mentality is in us, we against them. He treated her like a valuable human being. Jesus crossed over the cultural and social barriers with a few simple words and began to build a bridge. In doing so, we see Jesus, and we see agape love in action through Jesus. And do you know what? I experienced this in my life. When I was going to work with gypsy people in Europe, everyone said, "This is, Joseph, this is wasting of time. Their culture is so different. You will see no fruit." It's not true. Today in Bulgaria, Romania, and other places, there are churches, gypsy churches, and people were rich. And do you know, similar is in India, like Banjari people, untouchable. And I saw in other continents people who nobody wants to serve, nobody wants to have anything to do with them. And God is reaching them and saving them. Do you know that the longest service I serve in, or church service I serve, it was gypsy service. I was invited to, in the middle of the week, to preach and share the word of God. And I thought it will be from 6 to 7 or maximum 8. And it was until 10 o'clock, 10 p.m., from 6 p.m. to 10, ordinary service. And then They told me, Joseph, this is only break. We are taking break 1 hour. We will continue. And I, do you know, we had service until 3 a.m. And people didn't want to leave the church. And later we had picnic, like in the middle of the night. We had big barbecue and long table. I never experienced such a love and fellowship with other groups than this gypsy church had. And I came to the hotel around 7 a.m. and I need to teach the school in Romania and Bucharest at 8. So I didn't sleep whole night. I just went straight to have workshop. But this was my experience with such people like this Samaritan woman. Second point, what Jesus wanted to let us understand, it is that he's opening up opportunities for change in people's lives. In your life, he can change your life. What is interesting is that Jesus doesn't get entangled in theological dispute and discussion about the spiritual and religious differences and political divide between the Jews and Samaritans. But he goes to the heart of the need. In verse 10, he said, if you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living waters. This woman has no idea what he means by the gift of God. What would God want to give her? All she knows is this well, and she knew that it is gift from the forefather Jacob, and it had been for over 18 centuries there. And interestingly, it's still in these days used, and it was it is estimated between 60 to 80 meters deep. It's around 260 feet. So this is where this Samaritan woman, what she knew and what she was really what she was really surprised when she talked with Jesus about what kind of water he's talking. Jesus said to her that there is a far greater gift that comes from God, which will do far more than just satisfy your natural thirst. If you knew who it was that has the power to give to you, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. He was using everyday language, but he was speaking to her on another level. And that's why he used often parables. Water is one of the most common symbols for life or for the Holy Spirit in the Bible, since water is vital for human life. And the phrase, living water, is fitting and relevant metaphor for deeper life or more spiritual life. She is obviously not getting the point and says to him, but sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? She simply doesn't get it. There are no other sources of water nearby, especially running water. They don't have running water even in these days. Many houses have big container on the roof and they collect water and then they use it, but some people don't have any. She knew the water Jesus is talking about couldn't come from this well, and asked, where are you going to get this living water? She's getting skeptical, and Jesus made woman thirsty for answer. She's longing. Suddenly she starts to long for the answer, and she wants to really understand what Jesus is talking about. So this question opened up the opportunity to explain what he really meant. Of course, everyone has natural thirst for water, but the water Jesus was speaking about satisfies and deeper longing and longing for eternal life in every person's life, in your life as well. Third point, what I wanted to tell you is that Jesus is revealing the source for starting a new life. So let's read in verse 13 to 14. Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never be thirsty, but the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to eternal life. So our salvation, when we get saved, we get the spring water in us, and we influence all people around us, and people get living water. So this is that, not just to satisfy our thirst, but we become spring water, and we become a blessing for others. Jesus was saying, you can drink from Jacob's well, but no matter how many times you come to this well or how much you drink from it, you will be thirsty again. Whether it's the well of religion, many people are religious. I'm meeting people who always say they are very religious and they think that's enough. Some people are very intellectual. They think that the knowledge is the answer. Some they think that material security is important, or achievement, recognition, or relationship, or whatever you are looking for to make you feel whole, complete, and secure. If you come to the well in search of these things, you will have to keep coming back over and over again, and it may never satisfy you. Or it can satisfy you for season, but not for eternity. Jesus was kindly challenging her to choose something. Yeah, some people, they think that something they found in religion, but it will never satisfy them inside. My grandparents were religious. They were attending Orthodox Church. And my grandfather told me, do you know, I was helping priest. I was dressing him. I was singing. I was leading worship. And I thought, if I will be close to the priest, I will be close to God. Once I start read Bible, when I got my first Bible, I realized I was close to the priest, but far from God. And then they started with fellowship in their home. They got prosecuted. They get the, you know, Secret Service broke into their house, and pastor was taken away from the meeting. And people, they need to leave to their places. So it was tough in the beginning, but my grandparents continue to pray that the whole family will get saved. And you can see, I'm standing here. My grandmother, she said, I had six children and 15 grandchildren. Nobody was saved. Almost all they were atheists. My father was a Marxist. He didn't believe in God. But we got all saved, one by one. So in the case of Samaritan woman, it was the well of relationship, that longing for intimacy, for a sense of connection with another person with opposite sex. She was really left by every man, and now she was living, when she met Jesus, with a man without marriage. She thought she could get her longing met by the man. Because of five broken marriages, she gave up. And she just decided to live with next guy. It was clear that this well she kept going to for security, for love and significance would never satisfy her. So this woman was tired of coming here day by day to the well. And she experienced broken promises and unrealized dreams. The well was too deep. On several occasions, it had run dry, like her marriage. She saw this in her own life as well. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty, nor come all the way here to draw water." She wanted the life that Jesus was telling her. He revealed to her the source of life, pointed to himself as the only source of eternal life, the only one who supplies the fresh, abundant, fulfilling life. At the end, she understood. And not only that, again, God is doing something more. He is using her to save whole town, Sichar. She runs to the town and she tells people, come and meet the Messiah. And we know that Jesus was asked to stay instead of just to drink water at the well, he was asked to stay 2 days and spend time with the people. And he need to explain to his disciples what is the will of God in his life, not to eat physical food. They were concerned and hungry, and they went buying food. He was doing the will of his Father, and this is what was my desire to do, to stay in the will of God. And in one interview, they asked me in radio if what is how I would define the success in the Christian life, just to stay in the will of God and do what God wants you to do. You will see the fruit. So Jesus broke down barriers, and then he took the opportunity to reveal the abundant, overflowing, eternal life source to the Samaritan woman. And he's doing the same in our lives today. He reveals the source, their outcomes, and he gives us a choice. Why do you think so many people are restless? So I want to really ask one more question. What God wants to do in your life today? We can change our past. We cannot change our past, and we maybe cannot be able to change our present circumstances. But Jesus is challenging us to change our source for the sake of our future, eternal future. He can change all in your life if you start to trust him. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And Jesus is truly the way to God. His way to forgiveness. His way to better life, to everlasting life. And his way out of religious confusion. So many people are confused by religion. So we read in the Bible many times that I am the way, the truth, and the life. But nobody comes to the Father other way. But anyway, people do so much for their salvation, and they think they can save themselves by doing things. They didn't realize. They never met personally Jesus like this Samaritan woman. And in this passage, God wants to show us that we have an opportunity in our lives. We have divine appointment in our lives. And if we don't really take this opportunity seriously, we may miss a very important meeting with Jesus. And this affects our future. So this is my desire for you, that you will get saved, because we are living in the times which are fulfillment of Bible. When you look at the news, when you listen to people, and when you hear what they are talking about, we are living in the times when really Jesus is his coming is very near. His second coming is very near, and we need to be ready. And I challenge you that, and I'm thanking to you for prayers and all these years faithful support. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless your pastors, elders. I'm so thankful for Mission House, where I can stay. You know, I have nobody, no relatives in the United States, and when I come here, I have no place to stay. I have no car to drive. I cannot pick the phone and say, "Mom, Dad," or call brothers, sisters, relatives in the United States. I have nobody. I came to United States and I got political asylum because, you know, when I escaped from my country at that time, I was stateless. I was sentenced. I got sentenced 10 years prison if they catch me. And they stripped me of my citizenship. They took away my citizenship. So I was that time coming to United States, and within short time I went to the radio station in Europe, back where we are beaming gospel to the communist countries. I didn't expect that within 15 years Cold War will end and communism will fail and crumble in pieces. and that we will have Christian radio in former communist country, that I will be teaching, that they will invite me to teach at the university. They kicked me out from medical school, and after Cold War, they asked, would you like to teach? This is how God changed things in my life, within my lifetime. I didn't need to, and this is amazing. You know what God, and the whole my family got saved. My father was Marxist, became Christian. My relatives became Christians. And if you come in evening, you will see the pictures. Thousands of young people. I have one of the biggest tents in Europe, and it's full of young people. 8,000 young people come to our events. It's a logistic nightmare, you know, to have... You know, to have 8,000 people and to have them for 5 days and to feed them and to provide everything. But this is what God is doing in former communist country. And I see many Western countries, and they don't have Christian radio until this day, and they had 70 years, 80 years freedom. They didn't use that freedom. The West from us. But this is what God is doing in the country where I'm living now and where God sent me and where I'm missionary, and I'm thankful to Him. And without your help, it will be impossible. Because that time when I came here for first time, I couldn't speak even English. And they just interviewed me. I learned from Sesame Street, so you can imagine. And still I cannot speak without accent. My children learned perfect English because they were attending bilingual schools, and they could imitate even a South Carolina accent. I couldn't believe. They said, our teacher is from South Carolina, so we can imitate. And they learned German and English whole day. So I need to end at this point, and I will invite Pastor Greg to come and end this service. But if you want to hear more, come in the evening. May Lord bless you and thank you.